Hey everyone, Madonna and David. We're going to chat to, well, sort of about narrative therapy,
Okay, a little
but
bit.
also about making sure that we've got a, well, for people who are interested, some people don't care about their health.
Well, let's look at it in terms of like in counseling, you have one style called well-being therapy, and how it works, and I think we can integrate this into both of our practices, is that generally, if somebody has something like depression or anxiety, just say normal's five, okay's five. And under that is a bit anxious or depressed, and then deeper depression and like that down. And so generally what they're trying to do is adjust people to become normal,
Right.
right? But by aiming well above that, you're going to end up with a better outcome. So just say you've got a particular problem, and so just say you're depressed or anxious, and you go, I just don't want to be, I just want to feel okay.
Yep.
Right, but okay is about five,
Yeah, right.
right? And so in well-being therapy, you want to like aim higher, and by aiming higher, you're more likely to push over that five. And also, it's possible you'll get up to your seven or eight, or you're aiming for. How about that? What do you think about that with naturopathy?
Well, from a naturopathic perspective, I'm always trying to work on the things that do most stuff in the body. So, that's why I like things like products that increase stem cells in the body, because stem cells can become any cell of the body and help anything to heal. That's why I like things like sulforaphane, because it works on hundreds of genes that are anti-inflammatory and pro-detoxing. That's why I like purified zeolites that have been heated to 700 degrees, because they pull out the worst toxic substances first that have a charge associated with them. And because, so then if you're working
So
on
they're like
things,
it because they absorb things because being heated up like that, like things like hydrated lime, they become very, like even just as a chemical product,
well,
they're
zeolite
drying and they absorb things into them.
in nature, zeolite sops up toxins. So basically, if people get zeolite, crush it up, stick it in a formula, they're going to be digesting toxins. So that's a really bad thing to do. And I've actually seen that cause a lot of issues with people over the years with cheaper products. So that's why there's only a couple of zeolite products that I use, because I know they've been had the process
But they
done.
soak things up, don't they?
Yeah, they're sort of like, well, it's a charge. So zeolite's really negatively charged, so it absorbs positively charged toxins.
Gosh,
So,
that's a bit beyond my.
well, it's awesome. So basically, me, and it's very highly negative like charges. It's like one of the most highly negative charged things on the planet. So it pulls out the worst positively charged things. And before all the last 4 years, when there's all sorts of things going on now, but before then, the hierarchy was lead, mercury, cadmium, aluminium. So if we're taking those out of the body on a daily basis, then it takes the pressure off the liver, the kidneys, the lymphatic system, the gut, the blood, so that they can keep up with normal, because
Do
we were
they do
never
it?
designed to take in this amount of heavy metals into our body.
Because I remember using zeolite maybe 25 years ago,
Yeah.
and they were described like little cages.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so it's
Yes.
still so that's still
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
being
yeah, yeah,
described
yeah.
like
It's a
that.
honeycomb sort of structure,
Right, okay.
and it has the ability to absorb about 300 times its size or something
Because I
crazy
just think
like
of
that.
other things heated up to that level, they become very
Yeah,
absorbed.
it's not the heating that does. The heating's about cleansing. So
Yeah.
it's releasing the toxins that were in the zeolite.
Right. But still, when you heat something up, it's porous because you've got to
Yeah.
get those things into something like little
Yeah.
cage.
And there
Because
was
little
a.
cage will be like these little porous things support. I can
Yeah.
just see the physics behind it.
Yeah. So, and then it only leaves the body once it's neutral. So cancer is negatively charged as well. So this is why I've had, until the last few years, I had very, very good success with cancer, because there's a whole bunch of different things
Giving
going on now.
supportive.
Well, because the zeolite's negatively charged, it goes over and sops up something that's positively charged, with temporarily makes the zeolite positively charged. Then it's drawn back to a negatively charged toxin, say cancer cells. Then that's negatively charged again, then it's drawn back to a positively charged thing. So it basically goes negative, positive. It's constantly whipping around the body, finding things that are worse, so it draws in something with a higher charge, it releases something with a lesser charge, like say magnesium or calcium or potassium or something, because they have a charge, just not as much. So then it leaves the body in 7 to 9 hours. And I used to
How do
have.
they work out the charging thing? Like, how do you work out? Like, they're like
How do they.
ions or something.
Yeah, so
It's negatively charged ions, is it like similar to that?
yeah, and positively charged ions, that's
Oh,
right.
okay. All right.
Yeah, but the way they worked it out originally was coal miners somewhere in America, I think it was in Carolina or North Carolina or somewhere, and they basically did a urine test, if, I don't know whether it was weekly or monthly or something. So they were getting them all to take the Wyora zeolite at the time,
Right.
and basically everyone had the lead come out, and there was one particular guy who didn't have any lead come out of his urine. No lead in his pencil. Anyway, so he they basically ended up found out that he was trying to mess with the study and was not taking his zeolite. So then once they made him take the zeolite, he started releasing it, but it's in the same order. Everyone was lead first, then everyone was mer lead, mercury, cadmium, aluminium. So if we can start, and there's so much more, you know, there's
What
radiation,
about
there's
there's a bit of a contradiction because say something like glyphosate poisoning
yep.
that bleaches the minerals out of the body.
Oh, it's awful, isn't
No,
it?
but is that a good thing?
No, it
No, I'm
totally
just saying,
destroys the mineral levels
does
in the
it
body.
take out
Yeah.
some of the heavy metals in that process?
Well, it's a bugger, isn't it? Probably not.
No, but I'm just
Probably
thinking
not.
because you know that's what it does because it's what it does to trees.
Yeah.
Sucks the copper and the minerals out and then so the human has a similar effect.
And the glyphosate coats the pineal gland the same way that things like fluoride and you know, so it's such a shame, isn't it? You know,
Well,
it's sort of
this is the road we're on, and we've had a few hundred years of really the alchemists with their experimenting with chemicals. They've done some good things, but it has a lot of waste products and side effects that go with it.
did you know in America
And then we're thinking better getting up to that well-being health
they
thing.
release about another 10,000 chemicals every year in America? You know, so these are not new things. They rename them, they reformulate them, they just do anything they can so that, you know, when you're looking at a food label, you don't know what, you know, 90% of the things mean because they don't want us to know. If they wanted us to know, we would know.
Well, they're all they a lot of them are just like petroleum byproducts. When you look
Yeah,
at what
which are toxic.
when you look at all of the things oil makes, when you look at a chart of them methylated, and it's really incredible how many things it makes. And so this is the exception with the petrochemical byproducts,
Yeah,
mostly, isn't it?
yeah.
They're kind of in everything.
It's just awful. And, you know, the whole Rockefeller medical system using all of that to, you know.
Well, I don't know about that,
I
but
know.
my in narrative theory would be you externalize the problem. So people aren't the problem, the problem's the problem.
The problem is money. People want to make money and they don't care how they do it. So there's a lot of evil in on
Well,
account of
that's a
money.
problem when everything comes down to that, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because and one of the problems that with that is because most corporations do that, unless they've got a really good manager, is that money's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And so, and one problem with that is it's absolute black and white thinking. And black and white thinking is never good.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
so you've got a whole black and white thinking there because if people live like that, if money's the only thing you think about, then what happens with your kids? What do your kids learn? Oh, love's not important. Health isn't, money's the only important thing. And if that becomes a total, it's a black and white thinking thing, which isn't healthy.
No. And how many kids get, you know, they get lonely and upset and because their parents are out too busy making money all the time. And it's not easy at the moment,
And
you know.
then they might end up with a complex trauma from not getting the attention they need
Yeah.
because the money will provide all the physical things.
Yeah.
Oh, you had everything, but the connection thing might be neglected because of the black and white pursuit
Yeah.
of money only, which is becoming more and more a thing.
Yeah.
Probably always was, but.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about the John Campbell interview this morning about Scotland, you know, and he was saying that he was sort of throwing the numbers out there about the Scottish care homes,
Right.
home care, and how long the isolation went for, and how the humans in there were really saying, I don't care how long I live, I just want my family around me. I don't care how long I live, I just want to be able to see people I love. You know, and that was just ignored, you know, as part of
Well, the
the
reason
big.
people go into care homes is with the belief that their family will be able to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have insisted that they didn't go there and they would have got taken
Yeah.
care of by their family.
Yeah, so hopefully there's a lot more discussions going on in the world, and I think there's going to be a lot, like people are going to need a lot of care, a lot of counseling, a lot of support, because imagine if you're one of the nurses or carers in that home who has people locked up for days, weeks, months on end, years it ended up being for a lot of people. So there's going to be a lot of shame and guilt and anger and stress and trauma for the
Well,
people who were the carers as well.
a lot of post-trauma situations come from first responders. And so whoever's dealing with the trauma in the face is actually, and especially if they feel like they're not allowed to do the most healthy thing, and they've been mandated to do something unhealthy, there'd be maybe survivor's guilt, or hard to work out what everybody's different. So, because some people don't, some people can face really intense things and not get traumatized at
Do you
all,
think people in
but other
those
people are more sensitive.
Do you think people in those situations are getting help? Like, do you think governments are supporting those people, or is it just sort of like, shut up, keep working, you've
Well,
got a job?
it looks like it's being swept under the carpet, which is normal. And because people don't want to be, like with the COVID time, people don't want to stay in that stress. They want to get back to normal as quickly as possible. And then, but then pushing back to the idea of well-being, if it means people's markets are coming down, like they happen without people noticing. Like when a depression becomes onset or anxiety, when it wasn't there before, it's like no one really knows what to do. And so it's like, and so, it's like, because just say in a normal situation without an emergency, it's obvious when things come up, like if anxiety forms or depression comes on. But when you've got a situation like this, you've got people who don't normally get those things getting them, right? Because of dealing with the emergency situation. Because there were so many levels, like you say, there were people who were on the front line, first responders. And there was also they were being told one thing sometimes, and that wasn't really happening. And so you've got that level, and then you've got the level of people, just in everyday life, like situations where people are living in complex trauma, and they normally had ways out to take space, or a lot of the facilities that help people weren't able to act. And so you've got a lot of things that will be festering underground. And so I remember reading one article during COVID, and they're recommending the only way is to get excited and think up. Because the fact is that because the way out is like extra positivity, and which is well-being therapy, you aim a bit higher. Like it might be time to aim a little bit higher with your health, and maybe plan it out a bit better. Because there are things that are coming online now that from the COVID, and whether it's the interventions or the disease itself, there's like a whole range of new blood clots appearing, and more heart conditions, more inflammation.
Well, with Todd Callander speaking with Dr. Anima House here yesterday, it was a really interesting interview because he was involved in that lawsuit against the government for 1.4 million American soldiers or military personnel being forced to take the jabs. And in that, because it was such a huge database, they had 1,600 new diseases, and most of them are genetic snips or changes or deletions going on. So, people need to, if people are getting things that they're not understanding, again, I think this is exactly, we need to be aiming higher, but think, what are the things we can do in our body that do the most things?
Right. So from a counseling point of view, it's like aiming higher will be like if you can reduce stress in your if you can reduce stress, if you can reduce anxiety, if you can reduce those things, the body has a lot more potential to heal itself
Absolutely.
and bring itself back online and create the type of things, whatever the fighter cells are to fight things off. Because if you've got more energy, you can do more of that. And whereas if you've got less energy and you're stressed, your immune system's weakened, and so those things can have more hold on people.
Yeah, beautiful.
And so between it, so what sort of so with counseling, so narrative therapy, what you do is you externalize the problem. People aren't the problem, the problem's the problem. And once it's less personal, You can just look at the problem without the people, because this happened and that happened. Like during COVID, like for example, everyone's locked up in a house, right? It's a good time to externalize. People aren't the problem. The problem's the problem. And what's the problem? I can't go for a walk. I can't do the things to get space from people. So we're all locked up. So after that, there might be some residual fighting. A fighting pattern might have emerged. And so you might need to rebalance that, even though things are back to normal now. Like especially from studies on young people, anxiety is raising
Oh,
up. Things
absolutely.
like ADHD are increasing in number,
Yeah,
like
IQs went down in
in
the 2 years for
percentage.
a lot of little kids.
Well, it would because they didn't get because one thing about complex trauma, it not only happens in the home, but it can happen in a school
Yeah.
environment, in a social sports environment. A
Yeah.
bully can be anywhere. And so there's so many subtle little complex traumas that can happen. And during a situation like that, a lot of people in a complex trauma situation, because complex trauma isn't that big trauma that happened. It's when you're in a situation where a lot of little things are hitting you often, like in a family situation, in an abusive or a more narcissistic family situation where, because that'd be a parent thing, not to blame the parents, but they're
Yeah.
working all the time, money bottom line. But then
Yeah.
the kids aren't getting the attention they need. And in COVID, there was a lot of examples of like that, whether in a school environment, whether in a home environment, social environment was like gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that doctor and Jordan Peterson this morning down in Texas, they were saying a similar thing that a lot of kids got, missed. A lot of kids got fell through the cracks, in the States. So it's really quite. Because same again, you shut down schools for 2 years, you're
Well, the
going to
other
have
thing,
massive.
everybody went online. And so the other thing is that they're finding the studies about being online all the time be really bad for people.
Yeah.
And so during COVID, a lot of,
Naturopaths have known that for 30 years. This is
oh,
not a
sure.
surprise. It's 2D, it's
I know,
two-dimensional.
but the technology enabled it from about 2015 and it was going. And during COVID, everyone was online. So everyone got more influence than they normally would do from what's happening online.
Right.
Because they're spending more time there and less time going for a walk or doing things that they'd normally do to defrag.
Yeah.
And what they're seeing online is what's the opposite of defragging? It's fragging
Get the
that.
frag out of there. Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't fragging like when they in Vietnam, if the officers were getting into going to dangerous situations, they fragged the officers,
Oh,
shot them.
I don't know that
No,
term.
it's just a defragging, fragging.
Yeah, funny.
But
Yeah, so externalizing the problem, and so people can use this for health issues as well. Like I've said before about, I've got my,
externalization. It's a
yeah.
beautiful, such a beautiful technique.
Yeah.
People aren't the problem, the problem's the problem.
So you can do that with anything.
You can do it with absolutely any problem.
Right.
And it takes the personal thing out of it. Like, because even if a couple,
Yeah.
They're in a fighting pattern, right? The people are the problem. They call each other really mean names.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so that's the person's the problem. If you take it out, the problem is the problem. You separate the people aspect, which is the emotional thing, and you
Yeah.
can start to look at the actual problem
Right.
without all the personal stuff. And so that happens for individuals. You can use it for whole family systems, or you can use it for social groups. Because it also political abuse, or where it's similar to wartime abuse, when something's happening that's inconvenient, the government has to do an emergency thing, and so we can hate the government, or we can externalize the problem and look at the actual facts that are happening.
Can I hate the
Yeah, but well,
Oh, just joking.
that's not a good externalization. But the point of externalizing is that in a family system, instead of everyone blaming each other,
Yeah.
you end up with the problems over here. You give it a nickname.
Yeah.
You give it a nickname like, and then after that, then the family combines against the problem.
Yeah.
So it can cause unification out of fighting. And then
Nice.
the problem itself becomes the problem and not the people. And then the people are unified against the problem. Pretty incredible thing.
Cool. Yeah, nice.
And once you learn it, like you can learn it in therapy, and then once you learn it, then you can actually learn to do it to other problems. So it's not only a thing that we use in counseling, but something we teach people to
Yeah,
do.
right. In counseling kinesiology, one of the techniques is feeling the pain or the anger or the stress, and you sort of say, how big is it? What color is it? What does it look like? What does it feel like? So you sort of get that again, sort of creating something out of it.
Yeah, well, scaling's a thing. Like narrative therapy, solution-focused therapy, the ones that I use, they're called postmodern therapies. And they're what were you saying then? It's a yeah, so scaling's a big thing. Give it a number.
Because some
What is it
people,
out of 10?
yes, because they might have a migraine, but it feels like the size of the room,
Yeah, right.
and it feels black and icky and sticky and horrible. And then you go through processes to allow the body to delete it, shrink it, and whisk it away, and or whatever you need to do. Anyway. Cool. Narrative therapy.
Narrative therapy and well-being therapy, like aim towards, like you want to make your goal substantial. So just say you're getting a role, like just say it's our health. Just say we're looking at our personal health as a role, and then we'd go, well, while it's a problem role, it might be I'm fat and I'm fat and I've got all these problems, right? I'm overweight, got these problems. So that's the problem. Right, so externalizing the problem, then when you make your goal. So the other thing in narrative therapy, first you analyze the problem, but then you look at the opposite of what the problem is. Right, so we start with the problem, which will be just say it's health, and just say five's normal, and you've got some real health problems. You're sitting down on a screen with your well-being, with your physical health. So what you do is you analyze the problem, work out what it is, but then you aim it for it to be a seven. Right, I want to be a seven, I want to be really healthy. And that draws you up to it. Because by having a goal that is and then by that over time, because it's not immediate, you have that goal over time and you start thinking about it, changing excuse me, changing little things. So you're looking at the opposite of the problem. And so we look at the old story, which is laden with the problem, and it's laden with the people of the problem. So you take the people out, you define the problem, and then you look at its golden opposite. Like, what's an eight look like? What's me? What's me as a eight? Like, just say it's like a, in that role, you might call it something like slimline, healthy person, right? And that's what an eight looks like. And then by visualizing, aiming towards that role, you can sort of get your future pattern sorted, and then you can write about it. Because in narrative therapy, you might do a lot of writing.
Well, same in counseling kinesiology. You want some, and you don't want to just get someone to say, I want to be an eight. You go, well, why do you want to be an eight? What is not being an eight making you miss out on at the moment?
So,
Well, I sleep like crap. I don't have enough energy for my grandkids. I don't have enough time to go to the park with my son. Then you sort of
Right,
when you start.
so with the externalization process, people aren't the problem, the problem's the problem. Then you look at how has this affected myself, my family, and my networks? How has it affected them? And then how am I staying attached to this? Right? You work out those two things. And then when you look at the positive, you do the same thing. If I was a in that future self, when I'm a slimline, healthy person, how is that affecting my self, family, and social life? And how am I staying attached to that? How am I staying attached to that positive thing? And that might be the journaling, it might be keeping attention, it might be focusing on particular healthy things. And then slowly you get start moving from that three up to an eight, and you'll feel yourself hit a five, and then maybe a six. And then in a year, you might hit that eight. Because it takes
Beautiful.
time.
It does take time. It takes time, and as we know, it takes 21 to 30 days to create a new habit. So you
And
got
some
to.
people off the bat, they could do that themselves, but a lot of people need support through it because getting out of a bad habit or a series of bad habits, because if it's like it might be a whole range of things you need to do to get moving to get up to there.
Anyway, that's something people can see you for, narrative therapy, helping you shift that well-being.
Yeah, but they're getting that like in kinesiology and naturopathy, you
Oh,
surely that'd
yeah,
be good.
absolutely.
To use that, get people to aim up high, and then you can. And once you're aiming, then you can make a health plan, a gradual health plan, because you're up here, you're here, Right, where do we start? What are the
Yeah.
first, then we get steps up to it.
Yeah. 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 And quite often, like you say, sometimes, the first step is getting sleep better and less stress.
Right.
So starting with some basics, making sure you're getting 20 minutes of sunshine a few times a day, making sure you're drinking purified water, making sure you're, cleaning up your diet, less sugar,
More
less
cabbage.
sugar, less sugar, less sugar.
More
Fatty
cabbage.
cabbage.
Oh, that's what it does. That's why people don't like it.
Well, I love cabbage.
Right.
Anyway,
Well, it's full of
it's
what's that
great.
stuff?
Sulfurophane.
Sulfurophane,
Sulfurophane, it helps to, oh, and glutamine.
and glutamine.
Yeah, so sulfurophane switches on a whole bunch of anti-inflammatory and pro-detoxing
Right.
genes, and the
That reduces
glutamine helps to
inflammation.
heal the gut and the brain.
So that reduces inflammation and
It helps you
what?
detox.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
the lower bio thing that everyone's becoming aware of
Microbiome.
these days, huh?
Yeah, the microbiome.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
mucky bio
Yeah.
in some people's states. The
Yeah, beautiful. Cool. Yeah. Aim for the stars.
aim for a high number with your health.
Yeah, I so you know, because I love feeling healthy and vibrant and energetic and having lots of I love that. And I hate days when I don't do something good for myself. Like
Right.
I like it when I've exercised, get my whatever it is, 40, 60 minutes or whatever I can do, whatever I can fit in on the day. It always feels good.
Well, if it comes to improvement and well-being and love, we've got to start with ourselves first.
Ah, oh, we do.
And we have to look at our own self-care first.
Yeah.
And then we can create the atmosphere that we need to get on to healing.
Absolutely. Cool. Excellent. Thanks, David.
Okay, thanks, Madonna.
Okay. Talk
Talk to you.
soon.